the beginning of the United States. Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today, we're going to have Greg Hunter joining us from the USAWatchdog.com, and Wendy Wilson, who is normally scheduled here for this segment, will be joining me on Thursday, so tomorrow. So make sure you tune in, and she'll be here prior to the James Corbett segment. So thank you for joining us today. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Hey, we'll get started right away. Greg Hunter will be joining us about 10 minutes after the hour, and we'll take a peek at the markets here. We have gold. Had a little bit of reversal, bounced off the low of the day of 1196, currently on the New York spot price, 1203.50. 1203.50, down 520. You have silver down 33 at 1660. Platinum is down 6 at 1170. And palladium is down almost 2%, down 15 at 758. You have the USDX today trading higher, 0.08. At 98.00. Crude oil took a bath today, down 3 points at 50.94. 50.94, and I believe that is still over the 6% level.
I think so.
So, big hit in oil today. I'm really not sure why it was up as high as it was. The only problem that was going on that could have disrupted a little bit of the flow of oil is what's happening in Yemen. It's still a strategic place. A lot of oil goes through that one port of Aden. And I've heard that those rebels have taken over some more parts of that. So I'm not quite sure why oil is down, but maybe it was just a heavy trading day in oil. Who knows? When markets are rigged, it's hard anymore to determine if there's any one factor that moves a market in any direction other than we know it's not the reality of any given market, as we have seen the way they manipulate the gold and silver prices. Dow is up 27 points today at 17,902. You have the NASDAQ up 40 at 49.50, and the S&P up 5 at 2,081. 10-year yield, 1.90%. Euro, 108. And I guess there is absolutely no more. We're heading into the greed area. We're still neutral at 52. And again, it's just, you know, what makes it go from fear to neutral to people being greedy in such a short period of time? You know, it's really kind of silly to watch that index to see what emotion is driving the market. But then on the other hand, it kind of, you know, it just confirms there's so little reality in these markets.
Well, you know, it's hard. It's such a difficult thing to look at because the markets do things. It's not news that they do things for inexplicable reasons. Sometimes they suddenly panics, for example, are a classic example. People suddenly sell, and there's no sense to it. People just panic. It becomes emotional. And there might have been some sense that initiates a move to sell, but it catches fire in a peculiar way, and people start acting emotionally rather than rationally, and next thing you know, you've got a terrible thing. When we try to make sense of the markets, that's the hard part, because some of what we see in the market is legitimate and evidence of the free market, and some of what we see in the market is illegitimate and evidence of a manipulated market. And it's hard to know. And every time the market moves up, down, or sideways, is that evidence of free or is it evidence of manipulated? And it's part of the reason, again, you look at fundamentals, and if you can't make sense of them, and sit back and say, look, fundamentals that we would otherwise like to look at aren't making sense in this environment, then what do? If you realize that something irrational is taking place in economics and the markets and so on, then to me, you got to go back to something. You've got to get back to fundamentals. And at least one of the things you have to consider is the idea maybe you have to protect your wealth, and how are you going to do that in what may be an irrational world? You know, insofar as the world is irrational, you have to sit back and suppose that it will be forced, whether it likes it or not, it will be forced to go back to some sort of reason, and that reason will be based on truth and fundamentals. It won't be based on manipulation. It's unfortunate that people in positions of power have always tried to manipulate the markets. You know, we had the Hunt brothers back in the 1960s, if I recalled correctly. It might have been later than that, but they tried to corner the silver market. You got enough money, you know, it's difficult to resist these temptations, but the world's a better place probably if we have free markets than if we have manipulated.
They can't do it, but the government can.
I understand. Well, let's just see. Is Greg here? We got another minute to go. We don't know yet from Frank whether Greg has joined us yet.
Well, I'll tell you what. We got a little special going today on 90% silver. 90% silver at $710, $50 face value. There will be quarters and dimes. $710 includes all your shipping costs for 90% silver, $50 face value. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
Greg Hunter is here. Greg is he's the principal individual behind USAWatchdog.com. And Greg has a talent and a background for attracting some of the best interviews on the internet, on YouTube and so on. He gets some good people, some nice, insightful interviews, and great source of information. Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Oh, we can't complain.
Hi, Greg. This is
Melody.
Hi, Melody.
Hi. How's it going, you guys?
I saw that you interviewed James Turk recently, and he thinks the end of this year
This is what a lot of consensus is, and you know, in my interview with Turk, you know, one of the things that I've come up with, I've just tried to get everybody wants to know when, and I don't know if that's knowable when the exact time is, but a lot of folks are pointing towards the end of this year for a variety of reasons, and I'll get to that in a minute. But here are the two things that are 100%, and I don't care whether you're the inflation camp, the deflation camp, the stock market's going to crash, the stock market's going to go sky high, gold's going to go down, gold's going to go up, inflation, deflation, no matter what it is, how it takes shape, the two things that are consistent, that are agreed upon is, A, what we're doing cannot be sustained, period, the yep. end. Nobody says it can be. B, we're headed for a financial calamity, period, the end. That's what we're headed for. I mean, when Lawrence Kotlikoff, he went, was testified in front of the Senate. Somebody actually put a comment on my thing, and I know him. I know him pretty well. I can old school him. When I say old school him, I can call him on the phone. I love calling people on the phone, saying, hello, Dr. Kotlikoff. Yeah, Greg, what are you doing? Hey, you just testified in front of the Senate, and he told them two big things. A, we're broke. Came around and said it, we're broke. They know that. They know that. They know that. Did I tell you they know that? They know that. They're not stupid people in the Senate. And really, most of them in the House aren't so stupid. But in the Senate, there's nobody, everybody is connected. I got this from some of my people, that you make it to the Senate, you're only one of 100 people in America, you know what's going on. And he said, we're also 58% over finance. Well, he's a, you know, kind of a big Democrat, but he's not making any friends with any of his Democratic buddies talking like that. Or you could say we're 58% overspent. You know, any way you cut it. So I asked him, I said, so we borrow 58 cents of every dollar. Yes. Now you think about that.
Yeah, that's the majority.
That's a 58 cents of every, what? So we either need the fair thing would be a 29% tax increase and a 29% across-the-board cut for everything, EPA, defense, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, everything needs to be cut at least 29% with a 29% tax. Is that going to happen? No. Therefore, the consensus is it's going to crash. We can't even begin to, you know, remember a few years ago when they had the Erskine Bowles thing, where they had the, not Erskine Bowles, it was two Democrat Republican, one of them was Erskine Bowles. Anyway, they wanted a $4 trillion reduction over 10 years, only $400 billion a year, only $400 billion. I mean, listen to me. They couldn't get that done. They couldn't get $85 billion a year in sequester. That, oh my goodness. And while they were handing out, the Federal Reserve was handing out at the peak almost a half a trillion dollars every year. And nobody would even ask this question. I brought this up on your show. Who's getting that money? Who's getting that money?
Yeah.
Who's getting a half a trillion dollars a year? What banks are getting what money? Why and why? Who's getting it? Just tell me who's getting it. No, not a word, not a peep. You think those people on those finance committees don't understand that? But
they've got to be in a position where they really do make sure there's plenty of food in those underground shelters, because when this thing goes, Congress is going to have to hide out for a while. Because they're likely to be blamed.
Likely. They cannot sit there and say they don't know. It's like the Bo Bergdahl thing, which, you know, I think is outrageous. I mean, the lies of, you know, Jonathan Gruber, which I just, outrageous at the USA. One of the papers I get, USA Today, they not a really big thing. You know, kind of a political thing. No, it was a complete concocted lie. As is, Bo Bergdahl served with honor and distinction. I mean, now when the NCIS had a report, I said from the beginning, from the get-go, he's lucky he didn't get treason charges, be stuck in front of a firing squad. I mean, Americans died looking for this weasel.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't like he just wanted to go out and party. You know, soldiers just want to have fun on the, you know, on the Kamchatka coast or something. You know, it was a weasel. I mean, you look at the lies one after another. You know, I don't have the power to, legalize 5 million illegal immigrants. That lie. You know, I mean, it was a movie for Benghazi. Lie. I mean, it's just it's not a smidgen of evidence with the IRS, you know, going after the Tea Party. Lie. Bo Bergdahl, he served with honor and distinction. Lie. You can keep your doctor. It's going to be cheaper. You can keep your plans. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie.
Well, it seems America likes lies.
Well, it seems like that's what the government has left.
And then look at all the stats. I mean, listen, it's unbelievable. I mean, they know this is going to come down. They know it's going to blow up. They know it. They have to know it. They have to. We just don't know what form it's going to take and when it's going to happen. A lot of people point to the end of the year. You know, they're going to redo the SDR, you know, the special drawing rights currency, and China's going to, at the very least, get a much bigger piece of the SDR pie, at the very least. At the very least.
What do the special drawing rights mean to the people on Main Street? How are they affected by whether China gets a bigger chunk of the SDRs or a smaller chunk or what? How does that relate to ordinary people?
A, that's a global currency, a one currency. Somebody can't destroy their currency and ship their export their problems off to somebody else. You know, Japan can't do what it's doing. You know, we can't do what it's doing. It's a set up percentage of that currency that makes the SDR special drawing rights. So in other words, you got a global currency made up by a basket of currencies. And right now, the SDR is dominated by what? The dollar. Now, what happens if China gets a bigger chunk of the SDR? Well, I mean, somebody's going to have to take a chunk down. Their currency will, in effect, be devalued. Well, ooh, that'd be the dollar. So, you know, do we owe you some money? Sure, we owe you the money. Here it is. Here's $1,000 in your bank account or whatever. You know, gas is, you know, $14.50 or $7.50 or a gallon or whatever it is. I don't know. The people at the bottom, which, you know, what is it, half the people are getting some kind of a government check, whether it's Social Security or disability or EBT or something. And those people are going to get squeezed. Oh, boy, poor people, they want a good free market economy and valuable money more than anybody else. They don't even understand it because they've been lied to so much. So it's, you know, that's what it will mean to the person on the street. The person on the street, that's if we're lucky, if you just have a devaluation, a 30-40% devaluation. Imagine that, though.
Do you think that's all it would be devalued?
This is the Riviera question. Exactly. You're telling me how it is going to unfold. And let me tell you, smart people, a lot smarter than me, with PhDs in economics, vehemently disagree on this. I mean, you know, from Paul Craig Roberts, who thinks we'll have inflation, John Roberts, who doesn't have a PhD, but he owns ShadowStats.com, John Williams. And then you have, people like David Stockman think we're going to have the Great Deflation, wrote a book about it, about deflation. Of course, I don't know if he, you know, of course, he's a lot smarter than me. He thinks we'll have deflation. John Williams says, well, no, we can't. We've already printed all this money. Jim Rickards, same thing. We've already got enough snow on the mountains. Jim Rickards is what he says. And what's that snowflake moment going to cause? We already have enough snow for an avalanche. We have plenty of snow for an avalanche. What's going to happen? What's going to be the trigger? And that's the question. The trigger, what's going to cause it, and who knows? And when is it going to happen? And you know, the longer it goes on, the shorter the time it can go on for, because remember, it's unsustainable. That's, everybody agrees on that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, not a certain people, not a certain
That's
person
a fundamental that you have to factor into any investment decision you make right now. The current system can't be sustained indefinitely.
Absolutely, positively. And I see this stuff about, hey, how are you going to retire? What's in your 401k? You know, how are you going to... Stupid! I mean, what?
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine who was at CBS News, a smart person. And I just, you know, I just hope to make it to retire. I said, let me get this straight now. So you think that you get to walk away from the table with all your winnings and all your retirement, and we're going to let the USS Ronald Reagan sit out in the Arabian Sea, out of fuel, out of ammo, out of food. We're going to let that sit out there in the Arabian Sea while you retire fat and happy somewhere on the coast, on the east coast of the United States. Is that what you think is going to happen?
Well, yeah. Why would God let bad things happen to rich people?
That's the modern book.
It's not about whether God lets bad things happen to good people. It's why will he let bad things happen to rich people. We're going to take a break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addis. We're here with Greg Hunter, our guest from USAWatchdog.com. And I'm here with co-host Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg really does a remarkable job, gets some of the best interviews that are available on the internet, and we're glad to have him here today. We've been talking about the problems that we're facing, the economic problems we're facing in this country, and one of the fundamentals that everyone agrees, we disagree about a lot of things, but everybody agrees, the current system is unsustainable. And when we say unsustainable, Greg, do we mean that it can't last unless we do some tinkering and we repair it and fine-tune it?
Do we mean that
the system is going to break? Can it be repaired, or must it break?
I think it's going to break. Because the fork in the road that we passed in 2008 was we could have taken our tremendous money printing ability. It would have cost us about $6 trillion. And Catherine Arthur Fitz says it cost us $40 trillion. And people like Jim Rickards, Catherine Austin Fitch is a former assistant housing director. And somebody who manages what $300 billion worth of assets and money and stuff like that. She's an investment banker. She's very smart. Jim Rickards, Paul Craig Roberts, assistant treasury secretary, David Stockman, a former White House budget director. Lawrence Kotlikoff, PhD in economics. I can't tell, without question, without Harry Dent, who's in a deflation camp. But so is David Stockman. But gold incidentally does well in inflation and deflation because, you can't destroy it. So, deflation is the destruction of debt. forget about prices going down. That is not the main thing of deflation. The main thing of deflation is destruction of bonds, destruction of debt. That's why the Fed is freaked out by it. Oh, you mean you're holding this as your bank asset? Yes, that's right. I have these bonds. That's an asset. You know, remember I told you that we've been told debt is money, Federal Reserve note, dollars, and debt is an asset, bonds. And neither is going to be true. And so everybody to the man, I mean, I just can't tell you how many people, James Turk, Eric Sprott, I mean, every single, he manages $7 or $8 billion. Every person that I've talked to, everyone, it is unsustainable. No question, not even an argument, can't do it. And we're headed for a calamity, a crash, a dollar calamity, a bond crash, a stock market crash. I did tell, you know, James Turk, you know, he says, well, I think stocks will go way up, okay? And I said, well, what about MF Global? You know, we hypothecated, we pledged your, So if you could pick the right brokerage, maybe. If you have the stock certificates in hand, which they don't like to do anymore, that might not be bad if you have, you know, to buy the productive assets of a company. But there's a lot of brokerages out there that I wouldn't trust my, you know, a $2.50 a week allowance with. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I'm sorry. I just wouldn't. I think they commingle the accounts. That, you know, everything's in a pool. Everything's held in street name and not in your name. You think you got a statement, but it doesn't. It's held in street name. And I, you know, but everybody says that. So that's the overarching thing that people need to know. This isn't a maybe. It's not sustainable. It will crash. The only question is, what does it look like and when does it happen? Those are the only two other questions.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
well,
the only two other questions.
We can speculate about the what. What does it look like? But the when is the big question.
When is the big question? Right. It's been shocking to people that are big nine, big name players that manage hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. And my assessment of this, covering this since 2009, my assessment is nobody ever imagined that they would do the criminal stuff they've done to prop up the system. Nobody ever imagined that. And, you know, I remember 3 or 4 years ago when you said, well, you know, the gold market's manipulated. Well, now you can see on CNBC all the markets are manipulated. Now everything's manipulated. The gold market's manipulated.
Now it's common knowledge, taken for granted.
Yes.
And nobody's objecting to it. It's criminal manipulation. But everybody just takes it for granted. Markets are being manipulated. We're making money. Let's let the good times roll.
A couple of years ago, I mean, there was a YouTube video from CNBC, Alan, what's his name, Sorkin, and Becky Quick and somebody else, they're on the set laughing about, oh, yeah, silver market. No, yeah, oh, yeah, it's definitely manipulated. Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course, you know, why would they do that? Well, you can't have a technology boom with, you know, $100 an ounce silver. And so, you know, that's the deal. So and the Greek situation, is that going to be the canary in the coal mine that blows up? I mean, I don't know. You know, they can't pay the debt off. We can't, incidentally, I got newsflash for you. We are never going to pay this $18 trillion. Let's just not talk about the gap, GAP, the gap account that Lawrence Kolnikoff talks about, which is $210 trillion. He sat in front of Congress and said, hey, listen, for the Senate Finance Committee, and say, you know, we didn't, you know, grow the budget by $480 billion, as they say it was. Our deficits are shrinking, which is total bullpucky. Incidentally, they've frozen the national debt at $18 trillion in change. It hasn't grown in 21 days. And
do you think that's even possible? They haven't spent any more money. They haven't borrowed any more money.
Yeah. Alfred, we stopped spending money. Think about that. Oh, we just stopped spending money for the last 21 days? Really?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, okay.
It's just...
But
they've done that once before, a year or so ago, when they were having the debt ceiling deal. They went, I don't know, a month, 45 days or something like that, where they showed that, you know, it didn't move at all. And it's
we're never paying.
And, you know,
back.
It doesn't make any difference to anybody. It should.
Well, it does make it. When the rest of the world finally realizes, wow, they're never paying this stuff back. They're never paying it back.
Yeah.
I mean, then what does the Fed do? Buy up all the bonds? I mean, what do they do now? I mean, how many
even
can,
that
you know,
can only go so far.
I mean, when the king has no clothes, somebody has to stand up someday and say, whoa, he's buck naked.
What's the significance of the Fed buying up the bonds? And the significance is they can't sell them on the private market, which means at least not anything close to face value, which means it's evidence that the free market has already rejected United States bonds. Right, at the prices they're charging for them. They're saying,
they
to
put them out on bid.
So we have to sell. They are the lender of last resort. But it's evidence that the world has lost confidence in U.S. bonds.
They are the buyer of last resort.
Yeah.
Think about that. Because if they put that stuff out on bid and say, here, 10-year treasury for, what is it, 1.6%, 1.7%, what is it, something stupid like that? Mm-hmm. But if they put that out on bid, I mean, you think they could sell that for 10 years? No. No, they'd have to pay real rates. I mean, what would happen if there are real rates? I mean, James Turk did the math on it, said if it was 5%, we'd be spending $1 trillion a year just in interest. Can't do that. I mean, we'll ultimately default. We're actually in the process of defaulting now.
Yeah.
If we're buying all this debt, we're printing all this money, we are in effect in default. We're in technical default.
You know,
so I mean, that's just, people are in dreamland that this is going to keep going. I mean, the headlines of you know, Coach K, oh, the tears, about stupid basketball game. I'm sorry, but hey, my team put a leather ball through this metal ring more than yours did. Yay! That's what's important in life. I mean, we're talking about bread and circus here, folks. I mean, we're just come on. I mean, this is stupid.
And it's frustrating because you try to communicate these ideas. And it's almost amazing how little traction you get. People
because
just don't want to listen to what you have to say.
We're told constantly that we have a recovery. What did the Atlanta Fed just come out and say? That the growth, they're estimating, is now in the middle of February, they said it was going to be 2.3%. And now they say, wow, it's going to be zero. Well, it's, you know, factor in some inflation. It's negative. It's been negative. There's no recovery. There's no real jobs created. They just quit counting people. We're a record labor participation rate. Yes, granted, some of that is the baby boom generation retiring, but that's less people working. They are collecting. They're not paying taxes unless they're paying taxes on their Social Security or paying taxes on some investments, but they're not really, you know, payroll taxes. We're not productive. We're not working. That's 93 million. There's another, 14 or 15 million who are, you know, quote unquote, on disability. I mean, this is unbelievable, unparalleled in human history. Unparalleled in American history. It's unbelievable. Meanwhile, we're being told, oh, things are better. Things are great. Look at all these great, wonderful technological breakthroughs that are going to come through. You know, where we don't need people to do stuff anymore. You know, like there'll be full robotics at Caterpillar. They won't need people driving heavy equipment.
What will they do? You know, they're not going to quit their job as truck drivers and become nuclear physicists or systems analysts. There are some people, the only thing they can do is physical. They can only do menial tasks to support themselves, and that's the first place the robots are going to go.
Well, this is what
I mean, you've seen the Roomba, that gizmo that'll travel around the house and clean up, you know, it'll vacuum the floor. That Roomba is replacing the maid who used to come in to clean the house.
In part, yes.
Yeah. And we keep up. Where's the maid going? She's not a maid because she has a PhD in economics. She's a maid because it's the best she can get. What's she got after she's been replaced by a robot? What are we going to do with her?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's strange. We are headed into a just time that, of just extraordinary challenges, difficulty. And it's just a question.
Do you know what? I threw this out. I try not to talk to the guests ahead of time because I want spontaneity, in effect. I mean, on the Tonight Show, that was one of the things that Johnny Carson did. He never talked to people other than, hey, how you doing? Thanks for being here. Got to go. Bye. Because he wanted to get it, you know, spontaneous, right?
Yep.
And so I go to, I'm sure Jimmy, what's his name, does the same thing, although he's kind of a far cry from
Fallon, you know, or whatever.
Carson. Anyway, so, but I was on with James Turkin and said, you know, it's bizarre. I mean, have you ever seen this ever in your life? And the first thing out of his mouth was, there are negative interest rates all over the world. Nobody would have ever thought that 5 years, 10 years old interest rate. You'll pay banks to put your money in there. And that's what's happening. That's the only reason why the dollar's gone up, because we have we don't have a negative interest rate like Germany does when they're paying on their bonds. We have a slightly positive, like slightly less than, you know, for if you go to just your local bank and say, hey, I'd like to lock my money up for a year. How much can I get? 10 basis points, 0.1%, maybe. hey, if you do it for 5 years, you can get a whole percent.
Yeah. Where will you don't spend it all in one place, huh?
Well, which means the money's not worth anything. The cost of money is nothing.
Well, they're doing this in order to... They are hoping to cause people to borrow more money because they believe that will help to stimulate the economy. And they're trying to make borrowing as attractive as they possibly can, and if that includes negative interest rates...
Well, here's the problem, Alfred. And if you take a look at, luckily, Obamacare, I have a friend of mine that was promised a full-time job, but when Obamacare got voted through, guess what? He's working 29 hours a week.
Yep.
And
yep.
I was telling him about, he's got a friend that owns a condo that he's going to have to sell. And I said, listen, you don't have a full-time job. You're going to be able to qualify for a loan. And nobody's going to loan you money with a part-time job. So work out a deal where you can get a lease option to buy type thing where some of your rent goes to the down, even if you have to pay them a little bit above, market value for the thing. You know, at the end of a year, you can have some money and you can go to a closing table and you and him and you've already kind of taken over the payments. You got a payment history. And, you got to make the payments, and that's what my point is. You still have to have enough income, even if it's 0%, you have to have enough income to make the payments. And a lot of people simply don't. They just don't.
You might be able to work a deal with owner financing. He won't be able to make a deal with a bank to borrow the money, but he might be able to make a deal with an owner who wants to sell the property on his own under those circumstances. But you have to watch. That's careful. You have to be careful.
He might be able to make a deal after 2 years of payments, as long as he's got some equity in the place. I don't know, but I mean, you got to be able to make the payments. And so that.
And what happens with as things tighten up and fewer people can borrow the money necessary to get a loan to buy a house? What happens to the price of homes?
I think if interest rates go up, the price of homes crushes. Classes.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why, and people are thinking, well, maybe if we're going to have all this inflation, maybe I can, borrow a bunch of money and then pay it back, with
cheaper
dollars. I think they're going to end up redoing Jim Sinclair at JS Mindset. You know, Mr. Gold is what they call him. Brilliant guy. Been around the financial community for a long time. So owned brokerages, houses, and done multi-million-dollar trades. And I think he owns gold mines now in Tanzania. But he says, no. You're not going to be able to get a free house for the cost of a postage stamp. They're going to redo the debt in whatever currency they come up with. And Jim Rickards a while ago said it's going to be SDRs. It's going to be strategic.
Do you think that will happen, though? I have my doubts. After the dollar, if in the event that the dollar collapses, people will understand for the first time what a fiat currency is. Right? They'll begin to distinguish between money and fiat currency. And I'm going to guess that after the dollar collapses, if it collapses, the public is going to sit back. We're not taking another fiat currency. They're going to want something tangible like gold. Can they pull off a deal with that special drawing rights where they can make people believe in that?
I don't know if they can or not. If they have a gold component, if China says, yes, our currency is part of this a currency, and we have, that's when you're going to find out how much gold they got.
Yeah.
You're going to find out an official... And I mean, they may even open it up to reporters. They may, ring a stadium with the Chinese military and bring it all out into the middle of the stadium on pallets and set it out for everybody to see and photograph or whatever. They're going to say, hey, we really got 10,000 tons. We really have 20,000 tons. We really have, and that is a part of our real reserves. And of course, the price won't be $1,200. At some point, it'll be, it's worth 5,000 an ounce or 10,000. But China didn't buy this to lose money. China didn't buy the equivalent of the mining production of the world. Then there's also the scrap that comes in every year, which is, 1,000 tons, 2,400 tons in mining. So it's about 3,500-3,600 tons, I think. We're in that neighborhood. But China did not buy all this gold for it to go backwards. They're long-term players. I mean, they think in long-term.
Well, it's an investment. In their own way, it's an investment. And if I'm going to make an investment, I want the price to go up. I don't care if you're investing in cars, homes, land, whatever. Your investment, your profit is a reflection of the price going up. So China has to want the price of gold to go up. They don't want to get it. They don't want it to go up while they're buying it. They want to buy it at fire sale prices. But as soon as they can't buy anymore, and they've exhausted most of the people they were selling gold. They're gone. At that point, China can sit back and say, well, now it's time to raise prices. Let's take a break for some more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. We've been talking about the financial debacle that our nation is in. The nation, the world, and virtually all of it, in my opinion, traces back to fiat currency. But let's take a look at something else here for a topic. You talked to Paul Craig Roberts, and he's predicting Middle East revolution and inflationary depression coming. He says, let me read from the blurb on your blog. Former Assistant Treasury Secretary Dr. Paul Craig Roberts thinks the Middle East violence is going to get much worse. Dr. Roberts
Stop right
contends.
There. Hold on. The Iranians just sent their navy to Yemen.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
Yep. And then we're already helping.
I don't doubt. I think he's right.
We're already helping the Saudis make targets, discern targets in Yemen for their military. And what we're gonna be pulling up next to an Iranian vessel, and what's gonna happen there while we're helping the Iranians in Iraq? Ooh boy, the plot is thickening.
Well, Dr. Roberts contends, unless the Islamic State somehow collapses, you're going to see a new wave of revolutionary developments in the Middle East. Now, my question to you is this. Is the Islamic State merely a bunch of murderous SOBs that have kind of come together and had some remarkable success, at least initially? Or is this a second wave of the Arab Spring that burst out in the late 2010 and on into 2011? Is this another variation on Islamic or on the Muslim, the Arab Spring, excuse me? Is that what we're looking at, or are they completely separated events?
I think they're related. I don't know if they're completely separated, but I don't think they're completely
What I mean is emotionally. Do they feed off the same energy that's in the body politic that was
And the answer is no, I don't. Because what happened in, for example, where the Arab Spring started in Egypt is that, that was not a Muslim Brotherhood event, but the Muslim Brotherhood got control. That was much less a Muslim, but even though they got control, that was not a Muslim Brotherhood. Most people were not for what happened. Yeah. Now there's a military, Sisi is in there. Al-Sisi, I think, is now the leader, former military leader of Egypt, which is, a military dictatorship. But, the Islamic State was, and I talked to Paul Craig Roberts about this. He's very negative about America, incidentally. And I said, it's not run by the CIA and Mossad, because there's no way you can back that up. What you can say is we funded that, and Congress voted to fund the quote-unquote moderate rebels, and people like John McCain had his picture taken with members of Al-Qaeda, and what this did was blow up, in their faces. It's like Israel years ago, basically funded Hamas as a counterweight to the Palestinian Liberation, the PLO organization, the PLO. Yep. Now the Palestinian Authority, and people will say, the Israelis invented Hamas. No, they did never intended for it to be what it is today. And I think we never intended ISIS to be what it is today. I think we intended to fund these rebels, and they were going to knock out Assad, and they were going to knock the Iranians out of the box. And oops, they said, let's get our own country first. Out here in, eastern Syria and western Iraq, we can take this over and have our own, these are just borders drawn by the British back in the 30s. We'll just get our own country. And they did.
Yep.
And we funded them. And then we left all this equipment behind for the Iraqi military, and we were very gracious about it. Everything from tanks to, Humvees to Bradley fighting vehicles to Stinger missiles, all kinds of TOW missiles. We left them everything. We left them a grocery store of military hardware. And they've been using it. And so, Putin came up, and I don't want to carry Putin's water because, a lot of journalists have died. I think 21 have died of gunshot wounds since then. I'm not talking about his political opponents. I'm talking about just journalists in Russia since Putin was elected office. So, USA Watchdog could never function, as a Russia watchdog in Russia. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And same thing with China. So people are like, China and Russia, no, they're not deity, and you don't want to live under the yoke. At least they make us think we're semi-free, and we are semi-free, but they are not free in Russia, and they certainly aren't free in China, and you can't criticize anybody over there. But I will tell you that Putin said back before 9/11/12, remember that, a colonel in the KGB, and I had this on my site, brought it up in a weekly news wrap-up, and said, Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, says, that when you get the terrorists to do your bidding, this is talking about Libya, it can backfire in your face. And what happened about 2 weeks later? Yeah, 9/11/12, where our four Americans, including an ambassador, were murdered by Al-Qaeda related terrorists.
Yep.
That the U.S. put there, according to widely published reports back in 11 and 12. And I mean, CNN, NBC, ABC, New York Times, LA Times, I had all kinds of sources where, we took people that the coalition forces were fighting, Al-Qaeda, and we had them arrested, and we put them in Iraq, including one of their top commanders, in Libya, including one of their top commanders. So, I don't know, is chaos what the real policy is, if we could just create as much chaos as we can in the Middle East? I don't know.
That's a very good question. That's a good question, and it was something I was headed to myself. What is the United States doing over there in the West, not just the United States, but also the West? You talked about the lines for Iraq and Syria and so on. They were just drawn by some Europeans not so long ago. ISIS doesn't have to follow those, geographic rules. Are we dealing with chaos that's inherent in the Middle East? Is that all we're dealing with? These people just can't get organized, all right? They can't work in a civilized. Or are we dealing with a situation where the United States, in particular, and the West in general, has lost its ability to impose its will in the Middle East, and in that power vacuum, all of a sudden chaos is beginning to blossom. Or, as you said, is chaos the policy? We want chaos.
Well, listen, Alfred, let's just, and I'm not an expert on the Middle East, but I will tell you what published reports say, okay? Let's just start in Syria. So we go, and John McCain has his picture taken with the moderate rebels, which he gets his picture taken with top members of Al-Qaeda. He does. It's fact. Brought it up on Fox, widely reported. It's not an internet myth. Okay? Congress voted to fund the moderate rebels. The moderate rebels, in part, and I've been saying this since Libya, which Rand Paul accused the State Department, our State Department, of running guns from Libya to, he did it on the House, on the Senate floor, running guns from Libya to Syria. So let's just take Syria now, and the red line, and if you use chemical weapons, and some people say they were the rebels, I don't know, and, you know, just to take Syria, and we funded the moderate rebels, and they turned into, they were also in part Al-Qaeda, and then Al-Qaeda turned into the IS, Islamic State, or the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, you know, whatever. Or Daesh is what the, because they're not like, they're not really Islamic, Daesh, D-A-S-H, they call them Daesh. And they're getting some of this stuff right out of the Quran. It's written in the Quran, beheading people, that kind of stuff, killing the infidels, killing Jews. That's the kind of stuff they do. And so, just to stay right here in Syria, and so we funded these moderate rebels, in part Al-Qaeda. This group breaks off into IS, the Islamic State, and we've now 300,000 people have been killed, at least 300,000, many more maimed, a couple of million, displaced. And now, what are we going to say in Syria? Oops, our bad. Oh, sorry. Oh, that didn't work out. Oh, now we're friends with Iran, who's back in Assad, and Russia is in there, too. Oops, sorry. Is that what we're going to say there in Syria?
How long ago was it that McCain was singing bomb, 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 Iran?
Oh, that was about a decade ago.
I understand that, but the point is...
thing to say. Now let's go down to
One day's friends is the next day's enemy, and so on. Where's coherent policy?
Now let's go down to Iraq, and what are we doing there? We're helping Iranians and Iranian militia, and these Iranians were responsible for hundreds of maimings and IEDs in Iraq. That's a fact. And so now we're helping the Iranians bomb the Islamic State, first and foremost, into Crete. We're helping them. We're helping them. Now let's move down to Yemen. Now, we don't have ground forces on the ground, but the Saudis that bought more military hardware in 2014, and I remember back in 2012 or 13, they bought $60 billion worth of, tanks, rocket launchers, Jeeps, Bradley fighting vehicles, ammunition, guns, tow missiles, you name it, they bought it. $60 billion worth from the U.S. Arms manufacturers. And they bought, a record level. They beat the world last year, Saudi Arabia, and India came in second, and China came in third. And the biggest arms suppliers are, the U.S., U.K., France. So anyway, so we have our Navy down there. We have our Air Force. We're helping the Saudis, which are aligned with Al-Qaeda, against the Houthis, which are backed by Iran, according to Senator Richard Burr. He was on the Foreign Intelligence Committee. I think that's what it is. And so now we're helping Saudi Arabia bomb the Houthi, Iranian-backed Houthi rebels. And now Iran is sending their navy to the Yemeni coast.
And we're trying to cut deals with Iran at the same time. We are on one hand Iran's enemy. On the other hand, we are their friend. The whole thing just becomes bizarre. And what can possibly come out of this? Can we win this? Is this a strategy where we can come out ahead, or are we virtually certain to lose because we're defeated?
Nobody trusts President Obama. If I talk about all the lies, they know them too, and they're at a much higher level than me, and nobody's going to trust them. The Saudis, I'm sure, have already bought nuclear weapons. This is widely reported for the last couple of years that they were talking to the Pakistanis, which incidentally makes nuclear weapons, and the Saudis have tons of cash, and so we bet they made a deal. The Saudis are freaking out. All the Arabs, we look at this like, the Hatfields and McCoys. Look at these like the Protestants and the Catholics. This is the Shia, that's the Persians, that's Iranian,
yep,
against the Sunni, that's the Arabs, and the Sunni are about 90% of the Middle East.
Yep.
And so you know, is that the deal? Are they trying to reconstitute a Iraq, Iran, you know, Hatfields and McCoy, Sunni versus Shia war on a grand scale in the Middle East? I don't know. But you can't. I asked Paul Craig Roberts about this. He was in the Reagan administration. He says, well, this is factions fighting inside of the Obama administration, whether it be military-industrial complex, you know, NSA, CIA, you know, the elected body, the administration, you know, that if they, that's what he says. And I'm thinking, wow, there's no consistent policy. There is nearly no consistent policy other than the fact, if you look at this as a whole, it's total chaos. Now, either that's done on purpose, or the Obama administration is completely incompetent, or it's a combination of the two. I don't know. I don't see how we come out of this, because the Saudis, they're not loving on Iran, who hates, and now they're sending their military, you know, a few hundred miles off their southern border, which is, you know, Yemen is on the southern border, and now Iran is sending their warships, and, you know, they're sending submarines. And so Iran is sending their navy down to the Yemeni coast, which is an important chokehold, incidentally. I think it's only 18 miles wide. The Membab Strait.
All right.
I don't know exactly what it's called, but anyway, that's the strait that feeds the Suez Canal, which eventually gets ships into the Mediterranean, which can come to Europe and Great Britain and wherever. So I don't know. I don't know.
And that's just part of the point. People need to be prepared because there is no evidence of stability anywhere on the face of the globe. Everything is up for grabs. Some is more unstable. It's more unstable in some regions than others. But in the midst of this instability, you have to wonder how long can the system, which is acknowledged, it can't last, it's not sustainable, in the midst of all this instability, how much longer can the monetary system less.
You have to count, and I'm not trying to, you know, Melody, I'm not trying to be a salesman for you guys, although I don't sell gold, but I think everybody should. And I've actually told people to contact you guys because I know you guys are you know, you sell gold and silver for a profit, but you're honest. And
yes.
This is why you have to have, you know, I'm not telling people to go out and bet the farm, but you have to have, you know, you have to have some. If you have some, if you don't have any money, you should go out and buy food and water. But if you have some money to that you want to shield and you want under your direct control, there's no other better way to do it than physical gold and silver. And I like coins personally. I don't like bars. I don't like art bars.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Greg, we're going to have to break because we are out of time. We appreciate the plug. We certainly appreciate you being on the program. Look forward to talking to you again in the near future. This is Greg. All of a sudden, I'm losing my marbles in my old age from USAWatchdog.com. And I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, with the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Greg, Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Greg.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.